You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
All eyes on a New York courtroom as we wait for sentencing. Don't worry, Harvey Weinstein's lawyers are back in court arguing for an appeal bond so he can be out of jail while he waits for his appeal to be heard. That could be in a couple of years. And also, baby Evelyn. This little tot has been missing since December. What is this tot mom, Casey Anthony, all over again?
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Well, against all odds, Lady Justice won out. You know, it makes it all worthwhile. All the investigation, all the witnesses and their heartaches and their ups and their downs, all the legal wrangling. It's like two cats in a barrel fighting it out. But finally, yesterday, we learn the powerful movie mogul Harvey Weinstein has been convicted. You see all sorts of interpretations in the media claiming it was a huge defeat for the state. That is not true. Who would have ever thunk that regular women trying to make a living, going along to get along, could bring down Harvey Weinstein? Many legal eagles did not think it was possible, but it happened. Take a listen to this.
I'm telling you right now.
What do we have to do here?
Nothing. I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink. Water.
I don't drink. Can I stay on the bar?
No, you must come here now.
No.
Please.
No, I don't want to.
I'm not doing anything with you.
I'm sorry. I cannot. No, yesterday was a kind of aggressive for me. I need to know a person.
I won't do a thing.
I won't do a thing.
Please. I swear I won't. Just sit with me. Don't embarrass me in the hotel. I'm here all the time.
I know, but I don't want to.
Please sit there. Please. 1 minute.
No, I can't.
Go to the bathroom.
Please, I don't want to do something I don't want
to. Go to the bathroom. Come here. Listen to me.
I want to go downstairs.
I'm not going to do anything. You'll never see me again after this. That's it. If you embarrass me in this hotel.
I'm not embarrassing you. It's just that I don't feel comfortable.
Please don't have a fight with me. Please, I'm not going to do anything. I swear my children. Please come in. I'm a famous guy.
I'm feeling very
uncomfortable
right now.
Come in now.
That just hurts me to hear it. What you are hearing is sound released by the New Yorker magazine, and that was a wire. That's what wires sound like. You can't always hear every word. I've listened to a million secretly recorded audio tapes. You can't always hear what they're saying, but I could hear enough. And as I recall, this jury didn't even hear that. This was an actress, Ambra Badalana Gutierrez, a 22-year-old Italian model who had been hit on, that's euphemistic, by Harvey Weinstein. And you hear her going, no, no, no. And he's saying, don't embarrass me. He was embarrassing himself. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. You were hearing the truth as it happened. And I don't think this jury even heard that. They heard from other Weinstein victims. Joining me, an all-star panel, Daryl Cohen, former prosecutor in inner city Atlanta. Now, sadly, he's gone to the dark side. Now he's a defense lawyer. Joining me out of the Atlanta jurisdiction, renowned psychoanalyst to the stars. She's usually dealing with the problems on Rodeo Drive, but now it's getting real today with me. Dr. Bethany Marshall, psychoanalyst, joining me from Beverly Hills. Founder, director of the Cold Case Research Institute, my friend and longtime colleague, crime scene expert, Cheryl McCollum. Cheryl, I'm sure you were cringing when you heard Gutierrez trying to fend off Harvey Weinstein. But right now, to investigative reporter with my number one favorite paper, the New York Post, Rebecca Rosenberg. Rebecca, when I hear Gutierrez going, no, 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 it makes me sick what I heard. Before I get into the verdict, let me ask you something. Why did Cyrus Vance, the elected district attorney, sit on his thumb? Let's just think about that. With his thumb up his rear end on all of these claims before he would finally bring charges. I mean, he had this sound that we just heard. Did nothing.
Yeah, he came under a lot of fire for that decision. And I think that had a lot to do with why he ultimately brought the case later against Harvey Weinstein, which he triumphed in yesterday. But I think that, you know, that was a misdemeanor, the charge involving her. And I think the office made a decision.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. Rebecca Rosenberg. Now, you know how I feel about you and the Post. But Harvey Weinstein dragging this woman, touching her inappropriately, and saying he wants her to watch him take a shower, i.e. masturbate in the shower. There's really no nice way to say that, so I'll just put it out there. How can that just be a misdemeanor?
The woman who's...
Felony disgusting.
Ombra, that was not one of the allegations that Ombra made. He groped her. He groped her breast. He tried to slip his hand under her skirt. And then she called the police. So for her, that was a misdemeanor. She was not part of the trial.
Okay, you're right. You're right. I don't know. I know it's viewed as a simple battery, like grabbing somebody on the arm. But I don't know when it's your breast. Daryl Cohen, take off your defense hat just one moment. Why can't that be a felony sexual touching?
I think in every jurisdiction, Nancy, it's a little bit different. In Georgia, it would be a felony. In Florida, it would be a felony.
You darn right it would be. It's not a felony because Cyrus Vance says it's not a felony. Okay, hold on. Why am I having to hear this from the New York Post instead of being played in court? Again, this was not one of the victims this jury heard about. I'm going to get to the verdict, but I got to hear this sound. Listen.
And 1 minute, and if you want to leave when the guy comes with my jacket,
you can go. Why yesterday you touch my breast?
Oh, please, I'm sorry. Just come on. I'm used to that.
Are you used to that?
Yes, come in.
No, but I'm not used to that.
I won't do it again. Come on. Sit here for a minute, please.
No, I don't want to.
If you do this now, you will embarrass me.
No. Fine.
They will call me again. Okay? I'm sorry. I promise you I won't do anything.
I know, but yesterday was too much.
The guy's coming. I will never do another thing to you. 5 minutes. Don't ruin your friendship with me for 5 minutes.
I know, but it's kind of like, it's too much for me. I can't.
Please, you're making a big scene here.
No,
please.
But I want to leave.
Okay, goodbye.
Once again, you are hearing an undercover sting with me, an all-star panel right now, Daryl Cohen, Dr. Bethany Marshall, Cheryl McCollum, and Rebecca Rosenberg from the New York Post. Rebecca, I want to fast forward from what we were just hearing, and that was Amber Gutierrez, who said that Weinstein inappropriately sexually touched her against her will and made her watch him take a shower. Hold that mental image. Rebecca, there was one juror that when he saw the images of Weinstein naked, actually clenched his teeth and looked up at the ceiling like, okay, I can't get that out of my head, ever. Tell me what you think was the major factor that led to Harvey Weinstein's conviction.
I think that they had six women making accusations, even though three of them were prior bad act witnesses. He wasn't charged for them. But I think when you have six women who come one after the other who talk about the same pattern, the same way that he would sort of lure them in and abuse them, I think it was just kind of overwhelming, even though the three witnesses for which he was charged weren't, you know, there were some difficulties with them. One of the cases was 27 years old. Yeah. But I think it was just overwhelming when you had six people saying, you know, he did something similar.
You know, to Cheryl McCollum, director of the Cold Case Research Institute, Cheryl, you've been to a lot of crime scenes, and you and I were prosecuting cases when we didn't have DNA in a rape case. We had to, much like this case, of course, we didn't have Weinstein, who was a media mogul, a multimillionaire. But what touched me the most about this case, I think, is not only the suffering of the victims, but the fact that they had their problems. They had their frailties. They had relationships with Weinstein. They pitched him projects. They tried to trudge forward in life, even after being raped or being sex assaulted. And a lot of times juries hold that against the victims. The fact that they continued speaking to Weinstein. I mean, we got to drag people into the real world where women go along to get along because they think they don't have an alternative, Cheryl.
Well, not just that, Nancy, but let's get extremely real with people. And in this case, he selected his victims oftentimes because they had a background or he knew they were frail or had mental issues or drug issues or sexual backgrounds that would cause them not to want to come forward.
Okay, hold on, Cheryl McCollum. Let's don't let the pot call the kettle black here. I mean, Daryl Cohen, has there ever been any case ever that's been put before a jury? As I used to tell my jurors, witnesses are not nuns and priests and virgins, all right? Because if they were, they probably would not have been involved in a felony in any way, even as a witness to start with. So you have to take your victims and your witnesses as you find them. To Rebecca Rosenberg, investigative reporter from the New York Post, Rebecca, I read the claims against him that are waiting for him out in L.A. And, of course, he went straight to the hospital with chest pains last night. But what's waiting for him? I understand that one of the women made her outcry, which is when you tell someone else what has just happened. She made multiple outcries, although she didn't call cops immediately. One of the outcries was to a priest. They're going to have a hard time cross-examining a priest. But what's he looking at in L.A.? And what do you think is going to happen on sentencing date March 11 in New York?
I think that, you know, they're taking their cues from New York. And as somebody else on the panel said, it's changed. Jurors are willing to accept witnesses who continued a relationship with their abuser. You know, things that before, I think sex crimes units wouldn't bring the case because they felt that that was too undermining to the victim. So I think things have changed. And I think that he potentially, even though some of those victims might have similar issues, he could be convicted there as well. I think that's a real possibility. I just don't know. There's a wide range. The top count is between 5 and 25 years. The other count could be just probation and up to 4 years. So I just don't. I think it's anyone's guess what he did.
All eyes on a New York courtroom as we wait for sentencing. Don't worry. Harvey Weinstein's lawyers are back in court arguing for an appeal bond so he can be out of jail while he waits for his appeal to be heard. That could be in a couple of years. And also, they're going to try to get him moved out of Rikers to a better prison. Not only that, I'm sure they're going to file a motion for a new trial immediately, which will be denied.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Jeff Cassidy says this case is unlike anything he's ever seen. Toddler Evelyn Bothwell, missing more than 2 months, just reported missing this week. New information released Friday says a babysitter last saw Evelyn on December 10th. While the mother, Megan Bothwell, is working with investigators, Sheriff Cassidy says her story just doesn't add up.
You know, she is cooperating, but like I say, some of the information she's given us hadn't been really accurate.
Megan Bothwell was seen leaving juvenile court Friday morning. News Channel 11 reached out for interview, but she declined. The reason she was there has not been released. As far as her assistance in the case, the sheriff says it hasn't led to anything solid.
Her stories aren't leading up to stuff that we went out and checked on, video surveillance, eyewitness testimony. So a lot of her information hadn't been accurate.
Regardless, the sheriff is determined to bring Evelyn home. He is offering up to $1,000 of his own money as a reward for her safe return.
Where is baby Evelyn? That was News Channel 12 WJHL reporter Kelly Grossfield. I understand that the Amber Alert is fairly new, but this little tot has been missing since December. What? Is this tot mom, Casey Anthony, all over again? I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. Let's just kick it off at the get-go with the tip line, 800-TBI-FIND. 800-TBI-FIND or 423-279-7500. Repeat, 423-279-7500. How can this child be missing since December, but we're just getting an Amber Alert? I don't quite get it. With me, an all-star panel from the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation Communications Director, Josh Devine. Daryl Cohen, former prosecutor, now defense attorney, joining me out of Atlanta. Dr. Bethany Marshall, psychoanalyst to the stars, joining me from, of course, Beverly Hills. She's probably in a changing room in Saks right now. DrBethanyMarshall.com. With me, the founder and director of the Cold Case Research Institute, Cheryl McCollum. And Ray Caputo, lead news anchor for Orlando's Morning News 96.5 WDBO. This is bad every way you look at it. First of all, to Josh. Josh, is it Devine or Devine? Thank you for being with us from the TBI. I don't quite understand. The baby's been gone since December, and I'm just getting an Amber Alert? Let's just start. How did the baby, Evelyn Mae Boswell, just 15 months old, disappear? Because, you know, I was working, what, 1, 2, 3 jobs when my children were 15 months old, but either I was with them, my husband was with them, my parents were with them, or two babysitters were with them, one babysitter to watch the other babysitter watch the babies. Okay, so how does the baby just go missing?
Well, that is the million-dollar question, and that's what we're working to determine right now alongside both the FBI and the Sullivan County Sheriff's Office. They're serving as the lead agency. This information...
Where is Sullivan County?
Sullivan County is in Upper East Tennessee, so Bristol, Tennessee. So kind of in that corner near Virginia.
Yep.
And so the information came to us about a week ago now is when we really started having conversation. And that's when the local agency actually heard from the Department of Children's Services here in the state of Tennessee, after getting a phone call from family members that they hadn't seen this baby in about 2 months' time.
Okay, TBI, Josh Devine, telling me family called. Okay, would that be Ray Caputo, lead anchor, Orlando Morning News? Would that be mommy? Is that the family? Because I noticed Devine didn't say mommy called. Who called? Caputo?
It was the grandfather, actually. It was the mommy's dad, Tommy Boswell, and he was the one that called DCF. Now, he says that he didn't see Evelyn since Thanksgiving, and when they went to investigate and talk to Evelyn's mom, Maggie, Tommy's daughter, she really didn't give him a straight story, Nancy, and I heard you reference in Casey Anthony, because when I started reading into this story, that's all I could think about. There's so many parallels between what I saw here in Orlando years ago and what we're seeing up in Tennessee.
Did you just say Thanksgiving? Because I had her missing in December. But you're telling me Grandpa noticed she was gone back at Thanksgiving?
Grandpa didn't see her since Thanksgiving. So there were weeks, you know, where the child was apparently being seen by other people. But it was December 10th or 11th that investigators
figured out. Wait a minute. I've got to understand something. This is important to me. Did he see the baby on Thanksgiving? Was the baby at Thanksgiving?
That's what he inferred by saying that he hadn't seen her since Thanksgiving. So, yes, that's what I believe.
So he saw her on Thanksgiving. Okay. Is that right, Josh Devine? She was alive and well at Thanksgiving. How often was she spotted between Thanksgiving and the date we think she went missing in December?
We're trying to understand that timeline right now, Nancy. The information that we've provided is that she was reportedly last seen December 26th. So we're trying to piece together all of those details. The problem is we're getting a lot of inconsistent information from those closest to this child.
Man, talk about a euphemism. Inconsistent information. Cheryl McCollum, you've been around the block a couple of times. I mean that in a good way. Inconsistent information, that means somebody's lying. That's what that means. Break it down, Cheryl.
Yeah, as soon as you got mama lying about a missing baby, your concern is that the baby is no longer okay. I think the best scenario here is the baby has been illegally adopted. Worst case scenario, the baby's been killed. So they have to work this case, worst case scenario.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
What do you guys think happened? Can you comment on that?
I don't know what happened, but I'm the one called DCS and got this started.
And why did you call DCS?
Because my granddaughter, she never did come back, and I just don't know what happened to her.
When was the last time you had seen her?
Thanksgiving, up to his house. We all had Thanksgiving dinner.
So you hadn't seen her since Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving.
I know some reports say that it was like early December, so yours was a lot longer than that.
Yeah, it was Thanksgiving.
Had you been in communication with them at all? Like, I know you hadn't seen her, but what about
talking? No, I hadn't talked to her enough, but I stayed busy, and I talked to my ex-wife, and I told her, I said, if Evelyn don't come home, I said, I'm going to do something about it. And she said, you better not do that. You're going to regret this.
I wonder why they said you're going to regret it. This is the baby, Evelyn Boswell's maternal grandfather. Back to our friend joining us from the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. Josh, so you're telling me the grandpa saw her on Thanksgiving, and then other witnesses claim they saw her alive into December, up to December 26th. But I'd like to evaluate those witnesses. Who is the witness that claims they saw the baby December 26th?
Well, again, Nancy, the information that we're providing is that the baby was reportedly seen December 26th, and our agency has not been offering any sort of specifics about who said what that led us to state that. Reason being is we're pursuing everything that might potentially be an investigative lead. We're not in a position to discuss everything we know about this case publicly because we're working behind the scenes to pursue interviews, investigative leads that might help us find this kid faster.
Okay, I'm just going to take a giant leap and cobble together what I think. I think the mother told you she saw her on December 26th. Otherwise, you'd say something like a neighbor or somebody at church or somebody at daycare, but you're not telling me. You're not telling me, and you're not telling me for a reason, and I respect that. I'm just deducing what I believe. But I do know this. According to you, Josh Devine, with the TBI, a witness says they saw her on 12/26.
The reason I didn't report it or anything is because I knew the person who had her, and I didn't want them to run away with her. And as soon as they thought anything was going on, they just kind of vanished. So I'm just worried about, you know, like where they're at, what they're doing with her at this point in time.
Boswell wouldn't reveal who took her daughter, but says they were watching Evelyn while she was at work.
They should just bring her back. They obviously know, like, what's going on, and, like, you know, they need to bring her back home.
When did you realize that they had completely disappeared?
So in a way, I knew that as soon as anything went down, you know, the person was going to just disappear, and they have. And they've tried to find them. They won't answer phone calls. They've just kind of disappeared.
Boswell admits she'd do things differently if given a second chance.
Yeah, I probably called the first day. I should have, but I just didn't want them to run with her. Like they had.
Wait, I should have called the first day? Wait, she didn't? Mommy didn't call on day one to find out where is her baby? I mean, okay, I started to say I'm not judging, but I am. I'm judging because, you know, Dr. Bethany Marshall, you and I have been through a lot together, but Dr. Bethany, if the children do not come out of school in a timely manner when I go to pick them up, I immediately think of Kyron Horman. I mean, I pull in, I get out of that car, and I go look for them. How can you go with a baby? This is a 15-month-old baby girl. And she says, I should have called the first day. That tells me she didn't call the first day. A full day passes, and she hasn't seen or spoken to or checked on her baby. And, you know, I got to deal with Dad, too. I don't know who Bio Dad is. But right now, let's talk about Mom. All right? A whole day, Dr. Bethany?
Well, Nancy, one of the first things you evaluate when a child goes missing and you're talking to the mother, the first most important piece of behavioral evidence is, does the mother have empathy towards the child? Does the mother have a lot of details about where the child is, details about the child's personality, what the child was wearing, what the child needs to eat, the child's healthcare situation? She has no details. It's only like, yeah, I should have called. And when you're talking about doubting yourself and are you crazy, that grandfather, he is the only one that came forward. This family's a mess. They all gave conflicting stories. Nobody's concerned about the fact that the baby's missing. The baby's 15 months old. The grandfather says he's crying. He can't sleep. He calls CFI. He goes to a local news station. He gives an interview. He is the one sane person in the family. And this reminds me.
The only one.
Reminds me of Cindy Anthony.
And he's in charge of the asylum. Yes.
Remember Cynthia Anthony?
You mean tot yeah. mom Casey Anthony?
She called.
Okay, let me go back to Josh Devine, Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, the TBI Communications Director. Josh Devine, if I may be so familiar as to just call you Josh. Josh, do I have that much correct? Because you're hearing the mom, Megan Boswell. She's saying it. You're not divulging anything from the case files. She's saying she knows who has the baby. She was afraid they'd leave when she went public, but she didn't call on the first day. Is that your understanding of what the mother is saying?
At this time, yes, but there's a caveat. As we've said really since the get-go with this, there have been some inconsistencies in her story. So at this point, we've got to work everything she tells us as though it's truth, but we also have not found that child based on anything she said at this point. So we're just having to pursue whatever we can, and it's hard. This is one I've never seen. I've been with the TBI now for going on 6 years. You and I have talked about previous Amber Alerts that have happened in the past here in Tennessee. This is one that is exceedingly tough because we don't have a vehicle description. We don't have a suspect description. We're just banking on someone seeing this baby or knowing what happened and calling us and telling us the truth.
You were just hearing our friends at News 5 WCYB, Maria Roberts, but I want you to take a listen to more of what we know the mom says. This is WJHL News Channel 11, Ansley Daniel. Listen.
Let's get into the last time you saw her. Tell me what that time was like and when that was.
Well, actually, I want to talk about that. I've told TBI where to find her in Mendota. My mom took her to a campground and a silver camper, and if they don't go tonight, I'm going to go find her myself. Because I've told them, and they're not really, like, taking it seriously, and if they don't go tonight, like, I will go myself and go get her.
Tell me about the last time, though, that you saw Evelyn. Tell me what you guys did and when that was.
We went to go out to eat, and then my mom came and got her. She was wearing a little hot pink tracksuit with a matching bow and little matching shoes.
And was this December 20, like right after Christmas?
A little bit before
Christmas. Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Let's get into the last time you saw her. Tell me what that time was like and when that was.
Well, actually, I want to talk about that. I've told TBI where to find her in Mendota. My mom took her to a campground and a silver camper, and if they don't go tonight, I'm going to go find her myself. Because I've told them, and they're not really, like, taking it seriously, and if they don't go tonight, like, I will go myself and go get her.
Tell me about the last time, though, that you saw Evelyn. Tell me what you guys did and when that was.
We went to go out to eat, and then my mom came and got her. She was wearing a little hot pink tracksuit with a matching bow and little matching shoes.
And was this December 20, like, right after Christmas?
A little bit before Christmas. My mom, like, you can ask her, is a very vindictive, manipulating person, and yes. She basically, like, threatened me the whole time that she was gone.
Do you know who has Evelyn right now?
She dropped her off somewhere in Mendota at a silver camper. But my mom would always say the person, not, like, people, plural.
Okay, you are hearing again our friend Ansley Daniel speaking to Evelyn's mom, to Cheryl McCollum, Director of Cold Case Research Institute. Well, now I know what Josh Devine from the TBI is talking about. Right there, we just played two conflicting statements from Mommy. Mommy first says she knows who has the babysitter, and she didn't call after the first day, and that's her big regret. Now we're getting a different story. She's not with the babysitter. Her own mother took the baby in a silver camper to a campground. Now, that I here in the studio already know of one major inconsistency. I mean, Cheryl, I can tell you my twins are right this minute, or so I think. How can you have two stories so vastly different about where your baby is?
Because you have two people that are covering for each other. So the deal is, Mama knows, because Mama said earlier that I know the person who had her. had is past tense, meaning they don't have her anymore. And then she said, I'm just kind of worried. Kind of worried?
Kind of worried?
I would be a freaking lunatic if I didn't know where Caroline was for 10 minutes, much less 2 freaking months.
Where is 15-month-old baby Evelyn? The one person you would think would have some answers is mommy, but guess what? She's got a lot of answers, and none of them seemingly fit together. Is it Tot Mom Casey Anthony all over again? Take a listen to our friends at WJHL News Channel 11. This is Ansley Daniel talking to mommy.
So there is a person that has her in Mendota.
They're not taking me seriously. TBI isn't, because I've not fully told them. I've been like, hey, like my mom camped out at Mendota, you want to go check them out? But I've never been like specifically, hey, she's not your silver camper, because my mom did threaten me, like, you know, if I told anybody. I'm not going to get into that, but she did.
So your mom has had Evelyn the whole time? Or the whole time?
Or the person that is in Mendota has had her the whole time.
Tell me why you let your mom take care of her. Did she take her from you that night?
Well, she was just supposed to babysit her.
You had to go to work.
Because I was going to work.
And then when did you know that something was wrong?
Well, whenever, like, she picked me up Wednesday. And I told her, like, hey, they're doing a press release about the ambulance thing. And then she freaked out, and that's why they couldn't find her. Like, nobody talked to her for days until they arrested her. She just kind of, poof, gone. But she kept trying to take me to Mendota, and I kept asking. I was like, are you taking me to Evelyn? And she would never tell me yes or no.
So mommy seemingly is putting the blame on her own maternal mother. Joining me in an all-star panel to break it down and put it back together again, the big question, where is Tot Girl baby Evelyn? Ray Caputo, lead news anchor, Orlando Morning News 96.5 WDBO. Ray, it seems to me if Grandma was the last one with the baby, she would be in jail for kidnapping right now, correct?
Right, and she is only in jail right now, charged with being in possession of a stolen car, her and her boyfriend. Now, I don't know if this is...
Are you talking about Grandma?
Grandma, yes. Yeah, Mom is not in custody yet. Mom's just kind of roaming around and still spinning these tales. In fact, that interview was just yesterday with her sitting on her porch, you know, not being all too concerned about where her baby was at least, you know, it appeared to me. And again, you know, as parents, we all internalize what would happen if our own babies went missing, and it makes no sense. But the last I heard about the grandmother, she was being extradited back from North Carolina. Now, I don't know, Nancy, you're in the law practice, you have a background in this. They wanted to set her bond at $2 million in North Carolina, but they didn't do that because she was being extradited back to Tennessee. Now, that tells me that's something a little bit more serious than, a stolen car.
Cheryl McCollum, it's rare you get a $2 million bond on anything. That's a huge bond, much less a stolen car. A stolen car, really? You don't even make a bond. You go out ROR, released on your own recognizance, because that is not a violent felony. That's like having a joint to have a stolen car. Maybe not to the victim who owns the car, but we don't have enough bed space in jails for people that steal a car, and that's it. So Grandma is behind bars waiting to be extradited with a $2 million bond.
The car is probably going to be the primary source of evidence that we're going to have about Evelyn at this point. Is quite possibly part of a crime scene. So they're going to treat that vehicle and process that with a fine-tooth comb, because right now it's our money tree. It's all we have. So they're going to look for her hair. They're going to look for her clothes. They're going to look for blood. They're going to look for anything that might give us some indication of what happened to her or where she's at.
Now I'm just looking right now at her picture. And Dr. Bethany Marshall, psychoanalyst, joining me out of Beverly Hills. You can find her at drbethanymarshall.com. Dr. Bethany, I'm looking at her, and I don't want to say the words, I think she's dead, like Cheryl just blurted it out, the soul of discretion. I'm thinking about what life she led, being in a home where nobody knows where you are, and nobody's out looking for you. What was her life like? I mean, was she just standing there as people argued or fought? Was she deprived of food? Was she abused? Did she have a bath every night or every morning or both? It hurts me to look at her little face.
You know, Nancy, think about it. There are at least 3 adults in Evelyn's life who have no regard or concern for her. Her mother, her grandmother, and the biological father. This child was missing for months, and neither of these three adults were concerned. In fact, when the mother says on the interview, "Hey, I told my mother that there was an Amber Alert, and then she freaked out," as if the problem is the Amber Alert, not that their child is missing. It reminds me of a child molester I saw many years ago who came into the first session and said, "You know, Dr. Marshall, if that mother hadn't, that kid's mother hadn't walked in on me as I was fondling him, we wouldn't be in this pickle now, would we?" It was everybody else's fault but the perpetrator. So you think about this mindset with a little girl. Yes, there were probably multiple forms of abuse in the house, neglect. There could be some kind of battery, physical assault, and also the mental abuse of treating the child like she's unconditionally bad. So I worry that there's been a sad ending to a very sad 15-month life that this little girl led.
You know, the picture is getting in much sharper focus for me right now. This is what I understand. Ray Caputo, lead news anchor, Orlando WDBO. The mother did not report the child missing. The grandmother, the maternal grandmother, Megan Boswell, Angela Boswell, and a young guy, William McLeod, who's 33 years old, is in the stolen BMW. Now, McLeod, there he is. He's the one with tattoos on his face and neck, not judging, claims Evelyn's mother, Megan Boswell, gave them the stolen car without mentioning it wasn't paid for. And somehow we are now learning this car is being connected to baby Evelyn's disappearance. So you've got Evelyn, the baby. You've got the mother, Megan. You have the father, who has not been named yet. His name is Ethan Perry. And you have the grandma, 42-year-old Angela Boswell, and this guy, she's riding around in a BMW, William McLeod, the one with the facial tattoo, 33 years old. Who is this guy? Why is he in the car with grandma? And why is this stolen car connected to the baby's disappearance? Okay, Ray, I'm ready for a data dump. Hit me.
Well, Nancy, I mean, it's just a sad family dynamic, as we just heard, you know, moments ago about, you know, how normal people, if somebody's kid went missing, somebody would know about it very, very quickly. But now with this family, you know, the mom had a boyfriend. She wasn't living close to where the baby was, at least when she was found. She was in North Carolina. I know that much. But it's
Are you talking about the mother or the grandma?
The grandmother, I'm sorry. The grandmother was living in North Carolina, Nancy, Angela, you know, and she's got this guy, he's got a, you know, nice tat on his face and a tat. And he doesn't look like the nicest guy. He was convicted of assault previously, you know, so like the guest said, this child needed people in their lives and they didn't have it. With this case, you got three adults who have shown complete disregard, including the child's own mother. The dad is in the military in Louisiana, not around. So, you know, at the end of the day, Angela, I personally think she has something to share, but I'm not sure she had anything to do with this crime. I got to admit, I think that the mom, you know, given my background with the Casey Anthony case, I think the mom is throwing her under the bus too, just like Casey threw George under the bus at the trial. Seems like there's, you know, some dislike there.
So the baby's actually reported missing February 18, but the last known sighting that I know of was back in November by Grandpa, although some people claim they saw her December 26. It's a very complicated fact scenario, but we are learning that this stolen BMW is connected to Evelyn's disappearance. Evelyn Boswell still missing. $56,000 reward for her safe return. I want to go back to Cheryl McCollum. Tell me how you think this whole thing went down. Should we imagine some third party we don't know of has the baby? The mother's stories don't align, but yet it's the grandma who's being held in North Carolina awaiting extradition on a $2 million. They wanted a $2 million bond. So how does that jive?
Grandmama was found in a car that was stolen
that Mama initiated getting for her. So again, Mom keeps getting intertwined in this tale of lies and misdirection. So why would this baby's mama get the grandmother a vehicle, stolen or not? Why would she deliberately go out of her way to lie to law enforcement and not give answers to very elementary questions about where your baby is? And why would she continue, Nancy, to not search for the baby, not have, you know, concern or care for the baby, not be losing her mind and calling the police herself?
We wait as justice unfolds. The tip line, 1-800-TBI-FIND or 423-279-7500. Let's pray baby Evelyn is still alive. Nancy Grace, Crime Story, signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.